I'd like to share with you a word from the Gospel according to Matthew from chapter 10, and it begins with a big word. Whoever. You know who's included in that word? Who? Me. You. Us. Whoever. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of, you can probably guess by now, a righteous person. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Do you think there was a point? If there was, it would have been very early in the disciples' following of Jesus when they thought, this disciple thing is really easy. Jesus was doing all the work, right? Do you think there was a point where they thought, all I have to do is, he talks, I listen, no problem. If I'm ever hungry, Jesus just multiplies some loaves and some fish and I get to eat all I want. There's plenty of leftovers, no problem. Or if I ever get sick, what do? Have Jesus heal you and you're all better, right? Do you think there was a point where the disciples ever thought, this discipleship stuff is really easy? If there was, then here in the 10th chapter of Matthew, things begin to change. Jesus begins turning the reins over to the disciples. He's just sent out 72 of them and challenged them to do the same kinds of things that he was doing. Heal the sick and also proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, if I were in the disciples' sandals, I know what I'd be feeling. What would you be feeling at that point? I think I'd be thinking, boy, this is more than I thought I was getting into. I'm not sure I know how to go and make disciples, how to proclaim the kingdom. What is it specifically that I'm supposed to do? And that's where we hear these words from Jesus, who says, specifically and practically as he can, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, they will not lose their reward. I imagine the disciples at that point to be thinking, all right, I can do this. I can handle giving a cup of cool water to somebody. Here's my message in a nutshell that I hope to get across this morning. Little things matter. Will you say that with me? Little things matter. If you were in VBS this week, you know that when the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt, God wanted to free them. God wanted to get them out of the land of Egypt. How was God going to do that? God could have sent a stronger army than the Egyptians had. He could have made the Nile turn into blood. He could have sent locusts and hail. We know that he could because eventually it will come to that. But that's not where he starts, not at the beginning. Do you remember the most important part of what God did to free the Israelites from the land of Egypt? There was a woman who had a baby, put him in a basket, baby in a basket. Do you remember that song? And she put the basket in the water and floated it down, and then the Pharaoh's daughter found it. God, in other words, most important work was to have a baby. A baby that was born, and put in a basket, and sent down the Nile River. You probably know what his name is by now. His name was Moses. In other words, God does great things through little things. Or in other words, what's the theme of this sermon? Little things matter, exactly. As the Israelites settled in the Promised Land, things weren't always easy for them. Sometimes things got really difficult. There was a point where it looked like the people of God were going to be completely defeated and maybe even disappear completely. There was these enemies of the Hebrew people called the Philistines that were going to put an end to God's chosen people. And it all came to a head one day when the two armies were facing each other and they decided what they'd do is have one person representing the Philistines and one person representing the Israelites, and they would fight each other and whoever won would win. The Philistines picked their biggest, strongest warrior. You know what this guy's name was? Goliath. They gave him the best armor that they could possibly find. He was their best warrior, and Goliath was going to fight on behalf of the Philistines. Nobody wanted to go against him. Nobody on the Israelite side wanted to fight Goliath, except for one little kid who decided, sure, I'll do it. You remember his name? David. And do you remember what he used? Stronger armor, right? Better war capabilities. He invented gunpowder? No, he used a slingshot with a simple little stone. It's another example of how... Are you with me? Little things matter. As the Israelites expanded their territory, one of the cities that they decided to take over was a place called Jericho. And the way that they did it is they sent spies in ahead of them to find out what they were facing, but they needed somebody to work on the inside. And so they found a lady by the name of Rahab, who agreed to give them a place to stay. And in exchange, they agreed when they invaded the city of Jericho not to destroy her or her family. The problem is, how would they know where she lived? How would they remember that? They used a red cord that she attached to her window. Or in other words, she and her family were saved by a piece of red rope tied to the window. It's another example of how little things matter. Another of the enemies that the Israelites faced were the Midianites. There was a guy named Gideon who was going to take on the Midianites. He knew that there were a lot of Midianites, and so he needed to raise a big army, and so he got as many people as he possibly could. He said, if you'll help me, come on out. And he got 22,000 people together. And you know what God said? He said, that's too many people. And so what he said is, if any of you want to go home, go home. How many of them went home? Do you know this story? Over half of them decided to go home, so he was left with 10,000. And at that point, God said, it's still too many people. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the 10,000 that you've got left and take them down to the water side and see how they drink water. Some of them are going to take their mouth down to the water and they're going to lap up the water, but then some of them are going to cup the water and take it to their mouths. He says, watch those. There weren't a whole lot of them, but some of them did. And God told Gideon then, those are the ones that I want to create this army for you. There were about 300 of them. And when those guys got together, God said, that's just perfect. Now we've got an army that we can take into battle. Not a big army, a little one. Another example of how little things matter. When God decided to fight the ultimate battle against death and sin, he did it not by showing that God is smarter or God is stronger or God has a better army. Instead, God saved the world once again through a baby who grew up to be a very humble man and ended up dying on a cross. You know what his name was, right? Jesus. Another example of how, even a baby, how little things matter. NASA found this out in 1962. They spent millions of dollars building the Mariner space probe. It was supposed to go to Venus to try to figure out what the solar system looked like and what the atmosphere of Venus was. It took off and then veered off course and exploded. They got curious why it was that they'd spent millions of dollars on this space probe that went off course and blew up. What they found was that somebody had left a comma out of the program that was supposed to guide the space probe. Another example of how little things matter. One of the reasons that we can live on this earth is because there's oxygen in the atmosphere. Do you know where oxygen comes from? Plants, right? Do you know what plants most of our oxygen comes from? You'd think it would be the redwood trees or the rainforest of Central America or something like that. But where do they actually come from? Most of our oxygen comes from plankton. And do you know what plankton is? Little bitty microscopic plants that live in the ocean. It's another example of how little things matter. In the mid-1600s, there was a guy by the name of Brother Lawrence. He lived in France. He didn't have the training that was required to be a priest, and so he spent most of his life in a monastery as a cook and as a sandal repairer. But he came to be really respected for the advice that he would give. And even 400 plus years later, we still remember one of the things that he said. One of the things that he's remembered as saying is, we ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. I like that. It seems to me to be an example of what Jesus said when he said, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. So why is this an important message for us this morning? Well, as you go through the rest of the week, you're likely to do some things that you do just mostly out of habit. Not because they're especially important things or because they have to be done that way, but because that's the way that you've always done them. And you'll probably go some places that you go because you always go that way. I'd like to suggest that this week you pay particular attention to those little things that you do. Pay attention to the impression that they make on other people. And pay particular attention to the things that you do when you think that nobody else is watching. Why? Because these are an example that little things matter. Every now and then I find myself thinking, you know, I'm not really all that important. When history's written, I'm not probably going to take up much any space in the history books. And sometimes I get to thinking, you know, there are problems that I have, and there are places where I'd like God to work in my life. But there are a lot of people who have a lot bigger problems than I do. And so I get to thinking, God's really busy. God's got a lot of other things that God can be doing. Maybe God is spending more time helping these other people than he needs to be spending helping me. I think that in these verses, Jesus is saying that that isn't the way that God works. The God who created the universe is also the God who's part of every breath that we take, every step that we make, and every word that we speak. Why? Because little things matter. I got to wondering, is there something more going on here? Is there something more? Is there a reason why Jesus specifically uses a cup of cold water? And I think that there is. If somebody comes over to visit, what's one of the things that you can offer to them to be hospitable? Something to drink. No matter how rich you are or how poor you are, one of the things that most of us all have access to is a cup of cold water. I think that that's what he's talking about here, is a way that we can offer hospitality. So what are we supposed to do with a cup of cold water? We offer it to a disciple, and then we get the disciple's reward. Don't you find that encouraging? Because it means that we don't need to be the greatest example of discipleship who ever lived. All we have to do is encourage and welcome those who are. It means that we don't need to be Jesus. All we have to do is welcome Jesus into our lives. Here's an example. John and Mary were going through a painful separation. They were kind of embarrassed about the problems they had in their marriage. And so they didn't talk to a whole lot of people in the community and certainly not in the church. Most people knew the problems that they were going through, but because of John and Mary's desires, they, for the most part, didn't say anything about it. Until one evening when Tom and Alice, who were members of a study group, a Bible study group that they were a part of, got the courage to go up to their door, ring the doorbell, knock on the door. Conversation was a little bit awkward at first. They asked if they could come in for a minute and eventually got up the courage to say, "We heard that you are going through some sadness right now, and we just wanted you to let you know that there are people who care about you and want you to know that you don't have to go through this alone unless that's what you really want." John and Mary decided to let these folks into their lives, and later John would tell one of his other friends, "It was almost like Jesus himself came into our house that night when those people walked through our door." It's an example of how little things matter. Tom Long is the preaching professor at Harvard University, and he tells a story about an Irish rabbi. I like this story because I don't know many Irish rabbis, who was a kid during World War II and was one of those people who was thrown into one of the death camps. One of the things he remembers about the death camp is that whatever else was going on, every Friday evening they would pause and remember the Sabbath. Their father would take a candle, they'd gather the family together, they'd light the candle, and then say the Sabbath prayers, prayers of hope for God and of God's ability to rebuild creation. One Sabbath day, though, he remembers that they didn't have a candle. No matter where they looked, they couldn't find a candle. They were given rations of butter, though, and so what his dad did was take their ration of butter for the week, stick a string in it, and then light that, and it burned just like a candle. He said as a child he was absolutely incensed. He said, "Papa, that's all the butter that we have and you're burning it up." And he remembers his father saying, "Son, we can live for many days without food, but we can't live for 1 hour without hope. And so let us say the Sabbath prayers." Disciples of Jesus live in such a way that we have hope that God is able to take our meager efforts at faithfulness and somehow weave those efforts together into God's purposes for the world. It's an example of how... What? Little things matter. So am I saying that 1 hour that we spend on Sunday morning can change the world? Yes, I am. Why? Because this is the time when we welcome God into our week. And though an hour may not be a great deal of time in the grand scheme of things, God is a big deal. And so that hour, this hour, does make a difference. Why? Because little things matter. It's why it's a great idea to start out the day with 5 minutes in prayer, maybe spend some time reading through the scripture. Not because 5 minutes is a lot of time, but because that's the way that we welcome Christ into our week. And Christ is a big deal. And so that 5 minutes can change the world. Why? Because little things matter. I hope that you will find some simple things to do this week. Not because things like offering a glass of cold water to another person are a big deal, but because if we trust them into God's care, then they can be. They're a way of welcoming a prophet. The prophet can change the world. Of welcoming a disciple can change the world. A way of welcoming Christ, and Christ can change the world. Why? Because little things matter. May it be so. Amen.